Blog Talk Radio.
Up Wednesday out there, and welcome to Life, Love, No Chaser. I'm Leah Leone, your host, and with me today, my always inquisitive, thoughtful, and sometimes a little outrageous co-host, acclaimed actor, Leonard Thomas. Hello, Leonard. How
hey,
are you?
Hello. I am fantastic, and I'm stepping out here on faith.
Oh, my goodness. Together we make up Life, Love, No Chaser. We want to thank you for tuning in today. And of course, you can tune in live each and every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific, by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/Life, Love, No Chaser. Or you can ring up via phone during the show by dialing 347-637-3718. And please, if you are listening on the phone and you change your mind and you want to proactively get engaged on the line, just press number one and you'll be in line to talk to us. You can also follow us on our page at Blog Talk Radio or on Facebook at Life Love No Chaser. Follow us on Twitter at LL No Chaser. And if you've missed the show, you can download us any time, day or night, on iTunes, Spreaker, and Stitcher. So just connect with us, because we really love this show and we hope that you do too. If you have a show topic or a show idea, please let us know. Email me at leah.leone@yahoo.com. So let's get into it. Today, the focus of our show is fate, focus, or a balanced life. And there are many people walking around, Leonard, who are wildly successful. And of course, our goal always on this show is to empower others who aren't, so they can learn how to become the success they wish to be. And what I've learned in many years of living and motivating others is that successful people usually have a few working formulas that lend to their success. Most of them, number one, don't leave anything to chance, fate, or wishful thinking. But instead, they have a goal or a dream in mind, and they take risks. And they are also completely committed and focused on that goal at hand. And if they have any fears, they channel them instead of avoiding fears, and they use their fear to get better and to do better. Well, our guest today on the show has done just that. But before we get to him, Leonard, what do you think about that? What do you think about the formula?
I think that formula is working for the one percenters. and I think folks that make it know how to take a punch. And they also know how to get up when they fall down. I think those two are very important factors in being successful, getting up when you fall down and taking a punch when the whole obstacles come at you, and you don't stop at the obstacle. You go through it. And I think that helps you reach your goals and reach success.
Well, you know what? I agree with that. And I got to tell you, this. Let me share this quick little story, and then we're going to get to our guest. Last night, my children and I went skating, and it had been years since I had been on skates. And I learned in the moment that I have become so much older in that skill set.
It wasn't like riding a bike.
But here's what I learned. I hadn't forgotten, but I had much more angst about falling. Which impeded me in my ability to go back to the skill set that I had learned that made me once a masterful skater. I couldn't
now,
do any turns.
Is angst the same thing as fear? Is angst the same thing as fear?
Angst really was, it was really not really fear, because I was going to try it, but it was more of an angst like, ooh, I don't really want to fall and break a bone because I'm older. I may not heal as fast. But right. I'm not kidding you. The angst and the trepidation I had in sort of doing what I needed to do in order to capture those skill set, the skill set I had some time ago, made me really not shoot the gun. So I was very careful. I wasn't really taking a lot of risks. And thus, I wasn't successful in returning to my splendor on the skates.
But you know what, Leah? Check this out. I guarantee your kids were not thinking like you were thinking. I guarantee your kids
were
all over the place,
falling seven
and going for it. Right. You're just going for it.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to keep that. We got to keep that mindset of just going for it and not be worried about the consequences of it in terms of falling and hurting or, oh, my God, I can't do it the same way. Because we're thinking more the older we get versus the kid in us that's so carefree and willing to just go out there and risk it all and just go for it.
Well, it's absolutely true, and I felt like this is so apropos for the show today. So let's talk about our guest. We have, and we're going to welcome him right now as I read his bio. He's probably going to be cringing hearing all this like it's a roast, but I'm speaking all of adoration. Dr. Steve Southwick, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Good.
Welcome.
So let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Steve Southwick. I have known him since I was a young woman. We're not going to go to that story, but I have known him a long time, and I've always known him to be this sort of amazing guy who just seemed to be fearless and doing all kinds of amazing, fun things. He would sometimes call me, and he'd be in Brazil on the beach dancing. But let me give you just a formal bio. Dr. Southwick is an internationally recognized research leader and expert in agriculture specializing in fruit. You guys, he has actually researched the DNA of fruit. Who knew that there was such a thing? That's so above my pay grade. But anyway, he studied undergrad. He went to prestigious Cornell University Ivy League and also completed his PhD, I believe, at the University of Miami. And he started and managed a research group in agricultural scientists at the University of California, Davis, and pioneered with Davis along lots of many fruit advances that they still use today. He's obtained more than $10 million in research grant support. He's a highly successful entrepreneur. He's the owner of the managing director of SMS Unlimited LLC, which develops and markets fruit varieties throughout the world. And he's the Director of Research and Business Development for OG Packing Company and Grower Direct Marketing. I'm going to go on and on because when I stop, it's probably just the time will be up, but I'm going to just put in a few more things. He's published more than 50 peer-reviewed research papers, 400 research reports, made over 1,000 presentations in California and around the world, and he has 14 plant patents. You have been busy, sir. You have really been busy.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I just did my best to go after it like you were talking about and see what was going to happen.
I love it. I love it. So I want to give this little piece of your family because it ties into something that's going to happen later because I'm sure we're going to get some talk about it. But I want to mention this little thing, that you come from this long line of Ivy Leaguers from Dartmouth to Princeton to Cornell, starting with your father's brothers, everybody, you know, successful in their own right. And the segue into our show being focused and dealing on the life you have been born with and the resources that are available to you, and whether we should look at a life meaning we are just balanced and safe, or should we be focused and determined, which one of those is best in terms of reaching success. So I want to ask you my first question. In all of the things that you've done and accomplished, what did you initially want to do? Because I know we had this conversation. What did you want to do early on, and why did you choose a different path, and who influenced you?
Okay. Well, we did speak about some of this. Initially, I tell you, all the way through high school, I don't think I really had a clue. I was a sports guy. I liked to play ice hockey and I played baseball. I had an idea I was going to be maybe a professional player of some type.
I love
that. I got
scouted
by the teams. So, you know, I actually helped me get into Cornell. I played on the baseball team. I played a little hockey. I got going with that and I was a science undergraduate major. taking general science, biology, whatever, physics, all that stuff, I was failing. In high school, I made A's and B's and I didn't study. I got to college and I was playing these games and you have to practice every afternoon and you miss your class, you miss your lab. All of a sudden I realized, you know what, I got to make a decision here. I'm not going to be really good enough probably at these games, even though I thought I was. There's other guys that are better than I am, really. And if I don't, and I woke up in the middle of the night and said, boy, there's nobody looking out for you. Mm. What are you going to do? Anyway, so I decided to drop the games and start becoming a student. And I got into this ag game. My dad was in the ag game. He was actually a professor at UMass. And he kind of promoted that. But I liked the business world. And a lot of my friends, they were in the sports department, whatever you want to call it. And there were a lot of people from New York City that would come. And I was in these clubs on the campus that were sort of specialized clubs, and they would invite me to go to New York City and go to Wall Street and talk to the various firms. And I said, you know, this is really what I might want to do. Kind of like that. And my dad said, oh no, you know, that's really not your game. You've got to go into this agriculture thing. And I wasn't quite sure. Anyway, one thing led to another, and I pursued that, and then I never looked back. I did look back, but I didn't look back. You know, I probably even to this day wonder if that might have been my real calling, but I don't know. I focused on what I set out to. I started to work for DuPont Company, and they liked me, and they offered me work, and the boss says to me, oh, you should keep going and get more training, like a master's degree. And I still wasn't quite sure, so I said, well, he says, it's easier to get it when you're young and you have the aptitude. Do it now. It's harder to do it later. So I just kept rolling, and I ended up getting a PhD, and I didn't even think that I was really an academic type.
Mm.
So that's kind of where it, and then I got really driven. I said, oh, if I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to be as good at this game as I can be.
So then I
focused
right
on
there.
Trying to be the best.
The best okay. you can be. Let me stop you right there, because I think for the people that are listening, there's a couple of things in this story that you start with that I have to focus on, because they're important. You said you were failing, but you didn't give up. You shifted courses. That's critical, because if anyone out there wants to achieve success, immeasurable or otherwise, when you're failing at something, it doesn't mean get out of the game. It means maybe refocus, rededicate, and get in focus with what you should be doing as opposed to what you are doing. And I think a lot of time people look at failure as that's it, and they don't have the semicolon after it. They put the period there, and they just stop. So I love that, and I commend you on that. I want to ask you, in terms of focusing your life and you know, all of the things you've done, you got the PhD, you went to the master's, and you said, okay, I'm going to be the best I can at this. I'm just going to apply myself and be best at any of this. You shared with me a story, and I want you to just give me the condensed version of the story. You go to Miami, you're in this postdoc program, you meet this Chinese doctor studying sciences, and tell me what you told me about him in terms of how he really inspired you to look at the lane you should be traveling in.
Sure. Well, anyway, this guy had escaped out of China in a barrel, and he was a talented guy. He ended up running this lab, and I was working under him. He was a chemist, and we were working on these little molecules that would unclog clogged arteries. Anyway, and I was thinking to myself, oh, this is kind of interesting. Maybe I'm going to go down this line. And so I worked with him, and he would grab a little bit of this out of the closet and pick a little bit of this off of the shelf, and he would mix them together, like a pinch of salt, a pinch of pepper, a pinch of thyme. And I thought, my goodness, this guy is like a chef in here, but he's got no recipe. He's making up this recipe as it goes. And every time I'm trying to do this stuff, I'm scratching around. Oh, give me a book to read, or let me look up this. And I said, man, this is just at a level that I'm not going to be at. I mean, he was gifted in this area, and I looked at that and said, well, I'm okay, but I'm not going to be at the top of this game. And so I learned that. I mean, I learned skills from this guy, and I learned technique from this guy, but I had to apply it in a different area where I could be at the top of my game, and that wasn't going to be it. I realized, you know, this was just at a higher level than I was going to be at. I had to let go of that, too.
Dr. Sasvik, I love that. And I want you to take us all to that mindset, okay? Because, again, a lot of people, when they're faced with defeat, they don't think like that. What is it that made you say, well, I'm not going to just give up science. I'm not going to go home. I'm not be the chef of science, and this dude is working over here with no formula. He's creating it as he goes. I'm never going to be that, but I still can be the best in what I'm doing. I'm not going to quit. Where did you get that? What was your thought? Tell us how you do that.
That's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, you're talking about where does the motivation come from, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Boy, that's a tricky one. Does anybody really know? I had motivation my whole life. I'm not sure. I don't think necessarily came. I think it came from a competitive environment when I was a kid. I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe the sports was part of it. I was always competitive. I wanted to win. You know, tiddlywinks or marbles. I always wanted to win. I didn't always win, but that didn't mean I was going to try. You know, I was successful in the sports. My brothers were, you know, aggressive and competitive. I guess it had to come probably, if it wasn't innate, which I'm not sure about that, it may or may not be, it probably came from the family environment in the neighborhood. I mean, there were neighborhoods when I was a kid. We grew up in a neighborhood, and I don't know about that anymore. The neighborhood, we played together, we competed together, and we knew each other, and we made up games, and I don't know about neighborhoods, whether they exist like that anymore, but they did at that time.
So
let me ask you this. I'm curious to know, was your father in agriculture? Because he says you don't want to do business, you should do agriculture. And
did he see that in you?
Oh, he was in agriculture.
Well, I have a theory about that. We never discussed that, right? But I mean, I was the youngest of four. I had three older brothers.
Uh-huh.
But I came along as a mistake, or they were older than I was by a number of years. And back in those days, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad was out there working. So all of a sudden, she got these three guys that are gone. Oh, what am I going to do now? I think, okay, I'm a little bit lonely here. Let's have another little guy. Maybe we'll get another. Anyway, so here I come popping out, and I get all of their undivided attention. And my dad, the other guys, they had no interest in what he was doing, but I was more or less susceptible to influence for whatever reason. And so he massaged me. I don't think he consciously manipulated me, but subconsciously I really believe he did. And I didn't know he was doing it, but I did know he was doing it. But there's some kind of psychology there I'm not sure I fully understand. But we reflect on that, my brothers and I, and you know, it's pretty clear he kind of directed me, and for whatever reason, I didn't resist, and I don't know if I should have. Maybe I should have. But I don't know if that answers your question or not.
No, it does, because I'm thinking sometimes when we don't see in ourselves what other people see, our potential, and I was just wondering if your dad saw the potential or he just had a plan and he wanted you to follow him, you know what I mean? Or did
he
see
the
potential in you?
I think as I moved along, he could see the potential in me in that area, and he did want me to follow in his footsteps.
Okay.
However, there must have been other opportunity because, like, I would go to New York, and these guys from some, you know, significant firms would say, you know, you're the kind of guy we're looking for. You're a producer. We can see that. You can make – and I'm thinking, well, I always wanted to do stuff and make things happen as best I could, but for whatever reason, the motivation that in this direction and his prodding, I don't know. I made that choice, and like I said, then once I made the choice, I decided I'd try to be the best at that I could be.
So I want to slow down right here, and just for the listeners to say this. So if you have children, or if you're looking at yourself, the child in you, and you did not come from a competitive family that pushed you because everyone was competing against each other, or you weren't living in a neighborhood of competitiveness and games and trend, but you now find yourself either stuck in a rut and cannot move forward, remember now what you just heard was this was foundational. So some aspects is probably innate, but many other aspects is nature and nurture, and his father directed him. So if you have children, as parents, we have to give children freedom, but we also have to direct them in a way or influence them without manipulation, but guide them in a way. And then the other thought is also that if you are an adult and you didn't grow up in this way, you can change your foundation. You just must start over and start rebuilding the foundation, which is why we're having this conversation. It's never too late. And we're going to hear about Dr. Southwick saying exactly that, because I asked him in Future Sense what he plans on doing after, because, gosh, you reached the pinnacle of PhD. What else do you do now? But before we get there, I want to talk to you, because you mentioned something to me that was so beautiful. You said something on criticism and how you saw it as people were criticizing you in the lane that you were in. Tell us a little bit how you see criticism and how you saw people doing that.
Whoa. Well, there's you never, you know, the more you put your nose out there, it never ends. There's always some degree of criticism, either direct or indirect. Sometimes, God, there's a lot that goes into that question, actually. I don't know if we've fully explored that. You have to overcome criticism for sure, especially if you believe you're right. And other times you have to take it seriously because they could be dead on right. I mean, sometimes it's constructive. There's a whole bunch of motivations that can go into criticism.
Yeah.
I've had to overcome a lot of critics, and sometimes it's been useful criticism. I've had to swallow it and say, you know what, you're right. I guess there has to be a certain amount of judgment in there, and you have to be willing to take criticism, and then you also have to be willing to fight against criticism. And there's an internal gut, I guess, that sort of regulates you down that road.
I like that. And one of the things you said to me on the phone that I want to add to that, which is really a key to some of this as well, you said, you know, people were criticizing me left and right, but I never treated that or saw that as a barrier to my continuation. You know, I'm paraphrasing. And you said, people are always going to criticize something you do, but oftentimes the source isn't credible in the criticism, and so you just ignore it.
Yeah. That's
brilliant.
True. You said it. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, understanding who's a good critic and who's not a good critic, that's kind of tricky business.
Yeah,
so those are the haters.
There's some people that are just going to criticize everything, and you can't pay attention to them. And then there's some serious critics that are actually hoping that you'll benefit from their criticism, and it'll lead you in the direction that you want to go and make a positive impact.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people criticize, and it's hard to know. I mean, I've started these projects, for example. You know, it's kind of weird. Making up a new fruit, I mean, that's really weird, right? Who would do that? It's crazy business. But to start something like that, you've got to think 25 years out in time. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And start a project, and you won't see a result for 25 years. That's ridiculous. Who in their right mind would do that?
Yeah, that's incredible.
And so you can really get criticized a lot.
Yeah, if you're looking forward 25 years, that's insane. Well, if you're just joining us, this is Life, Love, No Chaser. We're on live with Dr. Steve Southwick. He has 14 fruit patents. He's a leader in research in DNA of fruit, all kinds of amazing things that is just hard to comprehend in science, in my mind. But let's take a caller right now. Caller,
hello.
You're live on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. This is Pastor
Hello.
Sandra Jefferson.
Hello,
Pastor. Hey, Pastor Jefferson.
Hi there. I was just listening to the subject about criticism, you know, being out in ministry and traveling. There's a lot of things you can get criticized for, even just a simple word that you can say, which words, just like foundation, there are different meanings. To certain words. And so if a person don't know the difference, then it will change things. It's like, you know, it will change things in the thinking pattern. That doesn't mean that because you got criticized for the word that you said, that word does still not stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that word still is value, just like significance. There are many voices, but none are without significance. That doesn't mean my voice don't matter because I'm not a PhD or because I'm not with a certain group of people of society. My word is still, it still is a voice. There's still a voice there. So criticism does make us take a second look. It also does make us be aware that if I'm going to believe what they say about me or what they say I am, then I'll never believe what God has spoken about me or what he's saying for me to become, or I won't see the vision, or I won't see the manifestation. I know in the psychological standpoint of what he has studied and what he has accomplished, it took being separate and being alone a lot, away from those that did not celebrate his study and or celebrate his time of knowledge or of wisdom. And so criticism comes, and it can be a great tool, but it's just like anything else. You do not make a permanent decision based on something that's temporal.
I love that. And with that, thank you so much, Pastor Jefferson. I have to get back to Dr. Southwick, but that's good. I like that, something that's temporal. I like that. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
And please
You're
keep
welcome.
Listening. Okay. Okay, good to hear from you.
Yes, I'll be on the phone listening. Okay.
Dr. Southwick. So, go ahead, Leonard.
Yes.
So, Steve, check this out, Dr. Steve. So here's my question.
Steve.
Did you know in the beginning of your project that it was going to take 25 years, or did you find that out as you were going?
No, I knew in the beginning, but I didn't start out doing it for any – here's a crazy thing. I did it for fun in the beginning, not necessarily for economic gain.
Oh,
don't you love an overachiever doing something for fun? Create a fruit.
Look what I discovered.
Forecast out to 25 years of research. Yes. I love it.
Wow.
So with that, let me ask you this, Steve. What do you say when people talk about fears? Because we've heard that you obviously have taken some risk. You took some calculated risk. You just went for it. But what's your stance on fears as opposed to, you know, living without fear? Did you live with fear and just say, I'm just going to ignore it? How did you get around it?
No, everybody, I think I had fear, but I had to figure out how to overcome it and still not be disabled by it.
Mm-hmm. And what was your mental talk to yourself? What did that sound like?
I had fear of, you mean, what am I, fear, or how did I overcome the fear?
No, what did you say about whatever the fear was? You needn't tell us, but just what was the mental talk to? Steve, look it, snap it together, get over it. How did you pep yourself?
I used to do positive feed messaging to my mind.
Nice.
I would talk to myself quietly, you know, that I can overcome my fear and that I'm going to keep moving, I'm going to keep striving, I'm going to...
You encourage yourself.
I'd say positive. Yeah, I would encourage myself or be around people that were encouraging. And there are not that many of those, actually. Maybe there are for some, but, I mean, it seems like a very few people that really can be truly sincere about encouragement. So a lot of it has to be done on an internal level.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
had times where I felt overwhelmed, I mean, I'd take a little break and try to have some fun every day you got to make time for something really fun, you know, when you're pushing along and relieve some of that, whatever it is. And that fun can come from many different ways. And I got a lot of interest, so I would always try to refresh myself so that I could meet the challenge of the next day.
So it's not all work and no play.
No, you guys got to have fun every day. Like I said, I try to. I think I've done well at that. Yeah, no, I can't work. I mean, some people could. I don't know, but I can't. I mean, my work is kind of fun at the same time.
So what you're really talking about is what we've talked about on the show, which is focus. You know, it sounds like to me you were just really committed to the task. You were focused. Once you figured it out, then you got really committed. Then you were extremely focused, and thus this is the product. Your life is now the product of that. And so how do you tell people, if you can't, right, articulate, what do you think about fate? If I say, well, you know, some people can just say, oh, that was your fate. Or do you think it was your focus? I'm curious to know your answer.
I think there's some of both.
Mm.
I mean, fate or luck, you want to call it luck or fate. I mean, you have to have some luck involved with things. Things just kind of happen, and you work in a direction to achieve some of your goals. But there can be some moments that things work out the way you thought, and then you have to be able to perceive those opportunities when they're there, be ready to say, you know, there it is, I'm going to get it now. Mm-hmm. I've had some luck or fate that's worked in my favor.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't also get you away from focus.
I've had a focus and a direction and a goal of where I wanted to try to end up. And I've been knocked off track, and I get myself back on track, and I've had to zigzag a little bit, and, I've been hammered down to my knees sometimes. I mean, I've been in this farming game, and I've lived through freezes, droughts, hailstorms. I mean, what do you do with that? I mean, you've got no control over a lot of those events.
Mm-hmm. I love what you're saying, and here's one of the things I'm hearing you say within that. You said you have to perceive opportunity. See, because a lot of times I think people are going through life and they don't know when to strike the iron. They don't know when to take the chance because they don't perceive that there's actually an opportunity. And so then it passes. And then there's another group of people who just wait on fate, and they do nothing because they say, oh, that just wasn't my life. It wasn't the time. It wasn't this. But I hear you saying, even with the luck that you had or the fate or whatever you believe or whatever you call it, that you were still focused within that and achieving the goal. And so you never lost sight of the goal and didn't wait for it to come to you necessarily, but things were sometimes out of your control. But that which could be controlled, you did. I think that is, you know, when I'm sitting, I get so giddy hearing you say all that. I really do.
Hey, Leah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can wait on fate. I think fate happens. You can't wait on. There's not a line you can wait in for fate. I think it just
this
happens.
This is true, but a lot
moving.
Of people do. A lot of people are inactive because they assign the opportunity to that of fate. So they either lie in wait for the fate to happen. Well, it's not my fate, it's not my destiny, it's not my time, and they miss opportunities. That's what I'm suggesting. But I think it's important to look at the perception of what is opportunity and when it's occurring.
So
yeah, there are definitely times when you're presented. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're the guest.
No, I mean, to me, there's things that there are there, and they're right. There are opportunities that come, and they can be fleeting. And you have to be prepared to take it. And you don't know for sure if it's going to work out. You have a choice. There's not any in-between on a lot of these things. It's either yes or no. All right? I've been one that says, I'm going to give this a yes. All right. Maybe that didn't work out quite so well. But there's a lot to be gained from the yes. And well, this is a tricky thing because it's not always black or white. I mean, there's gray areas in between. Too many people are saying no to things that are not that risky, actually, relative to some things. They're just missing out on a lot of adventure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You mentioned this, and I have to go here because this is one of my last questions. I have another one for you after this one, but this one I have to ask because I'm sure there are people listening. We have your lovely, handsome picture posted online, so we all know that you're a white male. So I'm going to throw you a bit of a hard question, right? So a lot of people are listening out there, and they may hear your story. And in the land of hearing your story, they say, well, she started out telling us that the guy's father, his father's brother,
right,
went to Princeton and Cornell and Dartmouth, he was just a privileged white man who had all this opportunity, and he just needed to just step into it. He didn't have to do a whole lot of work. I mean, he was clearly afforded prestige and some major opportunity in wealth and this and that. What do you say to that?
Well, I did have I had an advantage over some people. I wouldn't argue that. But, well, my dad put us to work. I mean, at 12 years old, I picked tobacco. I did that for a few years, and then I quit because they didn't pay me what I thought I was worth at 14. I said, I'm working just as much as these adults here. You got to pay me what the adults make. And they went, oh, you're a kid. Well, I'm glad I quit. I went into construction when I was 15, and I poured concrete. I saved my money. When I went to college, my dad gave me a little bit, and then the rest of it I paid for my own way. And I moved out of the house at 17 and didn't go back. And so I paid my way through all these schools with scholarships and work. I graduated with no debt. So, yes, I can't deny. I think the strongest thing, I mean, I had a strong parental structure, you know. I had a strong dad and a strong mom, and they were together, and they were good parents. You know, they might have had their frailties, but overall they met well and did their best. And I don't think we had a lot of money. My dad wasn't a wealthy man. He went to a good college, but he wasn't a wealthy man, relatively speaking. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She was educated, but they weren't wealthy people. And they didn't. I did go to a good school, but I paid most of my own way. And after that, I paid my way or scholarships through graduate school. And then everything from that point on, I did on my own. I didn't get any money from my parents to buy any property or start any business. I had to, and my dad had no experience. I had nobody to talk to. And so I made my share of mistakes and lost money and made money. And I used that when I worked in the university system. I kind of hybridized my life where I started some stuff up on the side and used the income from that to do things. And but yeah, I mean, certainly there's people that started off in a worse situation than I did.
So let me ask you a question.
But I mean,
let me ask you a quick question.
I didn't work for Donald. I wasn't born in the, you know, Donald Trump's life.
Right, but
I don't think so.
But
my
parents
all went to Vietnam.
Right. Yeah. You are a white male, and so many people are under the perception that white men in this world have more privilege. And, but here's what I want to focus on, not that, because I think that is true. How you answered it,
I think.
You
can talk about my wife. My wife is from
we'll
Liberia.
Get to her later. It is a relationship show. We'll get to her later.
Okay, all right.
We're moving forward. But let me ask you this, because you mentioned something, and I want to focus in on this, because my goal is not to set you apart as some person of privilege, but then show that you did work and bootstrap it up. No. My goal is to ask you this question about that. Even if you aren't born with an educational pedigree, or you are not born with the silver spoon, or you are not born under white privilege, there are still opportunities, but you must be much more creative in finding them, and then you must work your you-know-what off to make them happen. Because we can always cry about the disadvantage or the advantage of others, but I think at some point we have to toe the line. Would you agree with that or no?
Well, generally speaking, yeah. I mean, it just won't do you much good to do it otherwise. You know, there isn't any way that anybody, I don't think, can rescue you from some of your fate and your situation. You've got to ultimately grit it out and make it happen at some level.
Mm.
And the other thing I'd like to
you can
tell
get a,
people
you can
too.
Get a, some help. You can get some help. Some help. But, I mean, still got to go, yeah, help. But too much, anyway, yeah. I guess I essentially agree with what you say.
Yeah. The other thing is, too, is that I think as people in the world that are working and trying to make a difference, we always have to see all the opportunities afforded us in just the smallest of ways. You know, maybe there's not a huge, big landfall falling in your lap, but whatever the resources are that you can acquire, you just have to take total control and advantage of the small things and sort of build. And that's why I'm doing this show, because these tips and the things that you're saying about your life should hopefully help people start a foundation to their own building. That's what we're doing here today. This is Life, Love, No Chaser. We're talking to Dr. Steve Southwick, who we're going to just call Steve. And he is a brilliant scientist, very classically trained, pioneer on many things, developed his own fruit. Who can imagine that? And we are happy to have you in our studio. And as a final question, I do want to talk about this. In the reinvention of yourself and your career, because you said you didn't even know what you wanted to do, so you sort of aimlessly walked around kind of trying and dabbling and doing sort of different things, what advice do you have about people remaining in their passion or in their focus, but just staying in the game and sort of reinventing? Because you've done a lot of that, as I have known you over the years.
Yes. Well, it's a constant. I agree with that. You got to keep making things up and finding a way to keep yourself ahead of the pack. Or you kind of fall behind in the pack. And that could be okay, too, if you want to fall. You know, that's a choice, I suppose. There's nothing necessarily bad or wrong about, you know, dropping back a little bit. But if your goal is to, you know, be out there in front, things keep changing and evolving. I've been interested in firing people up by trying to change things, which is another issue. You know, throwing things against the wall and seeing that they'll stick.
And
that happens. A lot of times they don't stick, or people say, you know, that doesn't work, that's a bad idea. But that's kind of fun. I enjoy that myself. It can wear you out sometimes, I got to admit to that.
Yeah.
So Steve,
I think that's the choices. Yes, sir.
So, you know, you talked about your father guiding you in the direction of agriculture. And I'm just thinking about the person that went to junior college. And the person, I think a lot of people are not aware of what different types of opportunities that are out there, because they're so in a box in their own little world, in their own little community, and there's no information coming in, so they don't know the accessibility of what's out there. And the fact that your dad knew, you know, about the agricultural, and he pointed you in that direction, you know, if he didn't do that, you might be in business in New York on Wall Street and not have all those many accolades that you have right now. And so I'm just wondering, do you think more information needs to... Huh?
I might have more, or it depends on how you define more or less. I mean, it's
right.
Hard to know, right?
You never know.
Yeah.
But in terms of getting information into the community, so they'll know about that kind of stuff. Because I don't think they know about agriculture in Compton or in Inglewood, you know what I'm saying? California. And there's all kinds of fruit out here.
What's your question, though? Yeah, I'm not sure I understand.
So the question
how do you gain direction?
No, direction and the information coming into those communities, opposed to somebody in the community already knowing it and sharing it. Because if you're not knowing about that information in the community, then it's not going to get shared, and they're not going to be aware of it. And so they can't even tap into it. You were able to tap into something.
Well, I agree with, you have a good point. I mean, like I said in the beginning, I think one of the fundamental things that worked for me is I had a strong mom and a strong dad. And there is, you know, I would still say that's a fundamental thing that's maybe a problem in our society. The family unit may not be as strong as it once was, or you're fortunate if you're born into a strong family unit. If you're not, obviously, you've got to come across a mentor or have your own wherewithal, or something's got to click in your head and say, you know, I don't know, but I'm going to go out and find somebody, or talk to somebody, or go to a community center, or go to a church. I need to find somebody who can help me get myself square here and give me some direction. And I'm going to try that, and if that doesn't work out, I'm going to go to the next thing. But not everybody seems to be able to, that doesn't happen, does it?
No.
I know that, but I mean, so then you say, okay, so what's the solution, right? How do we do that? I think people need to, I have to just give you my opinion for what it's worth. I mean, focusing on strong family units, I got to go back to that. I mean, encouraging kids not to have kids
Right.
And encourage people to be responsible parents. I mean, that's still giving you the best shot you can get, you know,
yes.
sticking with your community, your church, building up strong communities with people that stick together and respect each other and try to look out after each other. Easier said than done in these days.
Yeah.
Politicians that can lead in that direction, I think, are great things. But it's not often the case that people stand up and talk about that. There's reasons why they don't, I guess. Anyway, that's my point of view. It's hard for society to do it otherwise. I mean, you can try. We do try, but kids don't always listen to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where do they get direction from? They get it from their peers or from sports people. And they're not always good role models. They're good role models for some things, but not for those kinds of things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents on that subject.
So here's the million-dollar question for you, Steve. What is your favorite fruit?
I like cherries.
I love it. With that, we will transition and let you go, Dr. Steve Southwick. This has been such a pleasure, but before I do, you did shout out to your wife, so we have to bring up that beautiful black princess. Do you want to tell us where she's from?
Well, I mean, she's got an amazing life story. I mean, my wife is from Liberia. She escaped from Liberia. She won a lottery.
Wow.
She lived in the jungle for 6 months to a year in the Civil War when Charles Thomas was fighting the rebels over there. Her brother was killed in front of them. They dropped parts of his body in front of his house, cut up arms. So she lived in the jungle. She survived. They played the lotto. There was a little ticket that was drawn out of a basket. Her name was on it with her former husband, and they came over to the United States. She was a housewife, and that culture, men could have more than one wife or partner, whatever you want to call it. She had no education. She divorced because she didn't like that kind of attitude. She had a child. She had no job, no income. She was on her own. She started working. She made some money. She paid her bills. She saved up enough to buy a car, to pay all of her bills. She put her kid to a private school. She started taking classes in nursing. Anyway, we met. We come from completely different parts of the world, everything. But philosophically, the way we look at life is pretty much identical, and you'd say, how can that be? Anyway, she's very well adjusted considering everything. And we went back to, Liberia a couple of years ago. We got a family over there that we helped, and they lived through Ebola and all this kind of stuff. So she's highly motivated. Tell me where it comes from. I don't know. And she speaks very highly of her dad. And they had a strong family unit. She has some brothers, a couple of which are dead. That's some of the story.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell. That's an incredible story. I mean, and I want to be clear that people know you mean winning the lottery, meaning she got a ticket to America, not the winning of the Mega or the Powerball.
opportunity to get a fresh start.
To get out of there. And that is a survival story, and it's amazing that some many years later the two of you do meet with such same determination to survive and be successful. And that's in and of itself. And I really think that a lot of times in America, we don't often look at everything as we maybe should. There's many and millions of people who don't have opportunity. And like you said, live in the jungle, living through civil wars, but they escape it and they get out and they move forward and they take advantage of all situations afforded them, and they do it. And so today is all about, listen, I know we have a story. Everybody has a story, but it's about being empowered through your story and not waiting for opportunity, but seizing it based on focus and being driven to success. And I just want to recap before we let you go the things that I heard you say, which were beautiful. you know, that you have to have this nature through either nature or nurture of a spirit to win. You said fundamentals and foundation is important, like parenting and structure, family, guidance. You talked about giving yourself positive feedback, saying and affirming to yourself that which you thought would help you, not hinder you. So speaking upon yourself positive things that you could do it. And then perceiving opportunities when the right time would be open, that you would seize it because you knew some opportunities would be fleeting. And so knowing when to strike. And then being flexible if you're beat down, hammered down, to don't give up. Just simply say, I'm maybe out of my lane, or maybe this is just out of my control, but I'm not going to quit this game. I am still going to strive ahead to be the best I can be in my own lane. So knowing your lane allows you to also be self-determined through any obstacle that you would meet. And that in and of itself is this beautiful life of this wonderful friend I have named Steve Southwick. We appreciate your time so very much today in really imparting, and hopefully I summated your thoughts and your words in an appropriate fashion. But we thank you today.
Thank you.
Do you have any final words?
No, you did a great job of summarizing. Thank you very much, and I wish you well on your program.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch, and our best to your lovely wife, and have a good day today.
All right, same to you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
So, powerful, powerful, powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on to the next focus of the show, I want to just be clear that people heard me summate the points that he made without making them, but those are the things that really build your success. You can pray all day, but we know that prayer and faith without works gets you very, very few steps forward. So you need to understand that this is really a situation that you have to be actively pursuing in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to focus a little bit differently. I'm going to give some tips because, you know, we're not a show unless we give you some tips to help you do the things that we've already set forth. And so I want to talk about and just kind of move forward into this whole conversation about finding balance and being focused and sort of walking through this way, through this life. You know, we had on the show, Leonard, a guy, an author who I just absolutely adore. His name was David Gagan. And in his book entitled The Endless Journey, A Unique Perspective on Mankind's Origin, Purpose, and Ultimate Destiny, if you have ability, go out and get that book. Read it cover to cover. You may be surprised by some of the things therein. But just read it and sort of open your mind and go through the pages. I love this book. It's my bedside, one of my favorite bedside books. But he writes about our journey in life in that book, and I quote him, and he says, our journeys are self-directed. We are responsible for what we learn, when we learn it, and if we learn it. Although we have a great deal of divine support, it is our responsibility to put in the effort and learn the lesson. And so I really want people to take away from this show that there's nothing you can do. As we heard him say, you know, I looked at others and was like, ooh, I'm not in that lane, but I can do these things. There's nothing you can't do. So you're not limited. You just simply need to figure it out and then do it. It's our responsibility to learn lessons on this earth. That's how we evolve as better people or closer to God or more godly in our way. What do you think about that, Leonard?
I think that as you're talking, as he was talking, the only thing that kept sticking out of my mind was, that's true. You said, you figure it out. But when you need to know how to figure it out, because it's easier said than done. You know, when he talked about the strong foundation and the family, the first thing I thought about was all those people who don't have a strong foundation and now who are grown. So does that mean they need to figure it out, too? And how will they figure it out? Because they didn't have the foundation. They didn't have the two parents who were solid. You know, maybe they grew up with a crack mama. So how will they figure that out? You know,
well,
and
I just talked about that earlier when I said, let's say you didn't grow up like that. What are you going to do, cry about it? No. Redo your foundation. Go out there, rip up the roots that were there that are dead, okay? Put down some good soil. Learn what a foundation is. You have people in your life that may be positive. Pick that person. Say, hey, you come in with me or me with you, vice versa. Find a mentor. Find somebody that's doing what you want to do and ask them to help you. Create opportunity of creating your own new foundation.
Right. You got to figure out what you want to do first.
Well, I don't know if you have to because you may never do that.
Well, you can't find a mentor if you don't know what you want to do, if you don't know what you want to do.
A mentor could just be positively giving you thoughts about your life and direction to kind of get it on paper. I don't want people to not know what they want to do, and then until they do it, until they figure that out, then they don't do anything.
Don't do nothing.
Because
a
lot of people are like, well, I don't know what I want to do, so I do nothing.
Right.
I don't want stagnation. We want
okay.
work in progress.
I don't want to just be chilling, okay?
Right. Well, what you doing, Leah, Tuesday? Nothing. What you doing Wednesday?
Right.
Nothing. Well, how come you don't do anything? Well, I don't know what I want to do.
Okay.
You see what
okay.
I mean? So I think it's a work
yeah.
in progress. So you gather the, first of all, go in and rip up the old foundation. Tell
right.
it that it will not survive. The roots must
mm-hmm.
come out. You must clip them yourself.
Break the chain, yeah.
Break the chain, right? Mm-hmm. Get the weed from being strangled by the foundation
uh-huh.
that you were born into if it was destructive.
Mm-hmm.
Second, now you've got fresh soil. Hallelujah, you can plant some new seeds. Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you could create
mm-hmm.
another foundation. But what do you need? You need people to support you in the vineyard. And so you figure
right.
out who that is.
Is there an age limit to this?
No, there's never. Yes, there is a late age limit. Dead. The only age limit is your graveyard dead.
Okay, graveyard dead. Okay.
Yeah,
just
so
checking.
You have between today, the 17th of June, and graveyard dead to get this done.
Very important. It's very important. They know that. That
no,
is no
it's
age limit. Yeah.
There's no age limit. Absolutely not.
Okay.
And then I want to talk about focus, and I want to talk to the multitasker. So I'm going to shift a little bit. So I was talking to my cousin David. He's a brilliant lawyer, patent copyright lawyer in D.C., and he and I were on the phone, and we were sharing this conversation, and we agreed that there are three kinds of people out there in the world, okay? So there's the people who live this sort of balanced, safe life. They go to work at the same time every day. They eat lunch at noon. They leave work. They check out of work. They eat dinner. They go to bed. They do it again, day in and day out. Okay? The weekend is similar. On Friday, they get their favorite drinks or food or what have you. They watch the sports. They go to the movie, whatever. Everything's comfortable. It's safe. And they never live outside of the comfort. Okay? Then there's another kind of person. There's the multitasker. I'm coming for you today, multitaskers. They do many things. They are the jacks of all trades. They are the Jamaican, I got 15 job man. I got 15 job. They're the plumber that comes to your house and then he looks at your grass and he says, I also do landscaping. He's all over
right.
the place. It's your friend that starts 10 businesses, but none of them go anywhere because there's 10 businesses. They never have chosen just one to focus on. They're multitasking. While sitting at lunch with you, they're on their cell phone, their BlackBerry. They're all over the place. They can't even have lunch with you without checking their phone, right? They're multitasking.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, we'll talk about if it's good or bad,
okay.
and you can choose, right?
Okay.
You can choose. Okay. Then they just are starting businesses. They're all over the place. Okay. Selling this, doing that. They're changing their mind. Okay. Then there's this third group, and they tend to be people who are very purposefully driven. They focus on one thing at a time. They master that thing. They get it done. They complete that thing. They're dedicated to that thing without fail or reckless abandonment. They don't care if they fall in that thing. They get back up, and they keep trying that thing. They may just shift the focus, as we heard Dr. Steve say. They're committed, and usually as a result of their commitment, they're financially successful, or they're just successful in the peace of living through their best life.
Right.
So my question to you, Leonard, and you should start this question, is Which life do you want to lead?
I'm going to go with the third one for 50, Jack. Thank you very much. I can only live in the third one. I can only do the third one. I can't do the first or the second. I'm a third kind of guy.
Okay, yeah. And so there's something to be said. Is your life about balance and safety? Is that okay with you? See, if it's okay with you, if that's the culmination of your life and you've never come outside your comfort zone, that's fine. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but just figure out
right.
where you are in this thing, right? If you're the multifaceted,
isn't that interpretive?
It is interpretive. It is interpretive completely. That's what I said. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm saying, is it getting you to the life that you wish to achieve?
Because can't you have that balance and safe in that third person as well as the first person? I mean, can all of them be balanced?
Of course, all of these could be meshed, but I tend to believe that the focused person is a little bit different inclined in terms of nature and personality and their life results. But let's take a caller.
Well, the first person is boring. They're just boring as hell.
We're not checking them, Leonard.
Okay.
So listen, this is Live, Love, No Chaser.
I'm a fruit inspector.
If you want to call us, you're on the phone, 347-637-3718. Press number one. If you're listening, we encourage you to chime in. Because here's another thing I was talking about with a friend of mine, and we talked about this, and hopefully he's listening. He can call in and give his analogy so I don't screw it up. But one of the things I told him, and this is the simplest analogy that I can give you in terms of not being focused in your life, and then we're going to get some tips. One of the things that drives me crazy is when I go to the Cheesecake Factory. I'm there. I'm trying to figure out what the decor is on the ceiling with the whole bubble thing. I'm not sure what all that is going on. It's complete chaos. Everywhere you go, it's chaos.
I thought you were going to say it was a 100-page menu you had to go through.
Oh, no. I'm getting to that. The whole place is chaos. It's just chaos.
Okay.
Then you sit down, and there's one server that gives you the drinks. There's another server that gives you the menu, and another server. I mean, it's just all kind of servers, right?
Uh-huh.
Then they give you this menu, and it has 100,000 things in it. And initially, okay, in the mindset of a person with options and choices and opportunities
mm-hmm.
afforded them, they think that is a powerful moment. I have the world
uh-huh.
at my fingertip.
Yeah.
Look at all of these food choices.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what it does? Having that many distractions immobilizes you to do nothing or much of nothing. And so what do? When you go to the Cheesecake Factory, you stay on one or two pages, don't you?
Or just order cheesecake.
Or you just order cheesecake. You don't use all that stuff. You don't.
Yeah.
So it's really a waste of distraction and time. Because you usually will go in there and you only choose that thing which you always choose.
Right.
You almost never venture out, most people. When I go there, I order the same thing. Because I'm so distracted
variety,
by that menu.
Variety is a spice of life. It's a lot.
That's what
and
we
the bar,
think.
And the liquor menu is just as thick as the food menu.
It's ridiculous, but it's
yeah.
a distraction. And what I understand about wealthy people, let's talk about these one percenters, okay? They
okay.
are
let's
out there.
Let's talk about y'all. Go ahead.
They're out there, and they don't get a lot of distracting going on. They're not distracted very often in their lives. They are very focused people because they know distraction means chaos, and chaos means inactivity because of overwhelmed senses. That's why I want to talk about focus. It's important to know your lane, and your lane could comprise of many different things. You could be an artist who likes to write. You could be a person who loves theater and art and singing. Those are all things within your lane. Focus on something and be successful at it. Let's take a caller. Life, Love, No Chaser, you're on the line live.
Hi, is this area code 312? I mean 773 or 678 or something like that? Anyway, hi. I have a comment to make. I don't know what area code I'm in. I'd like to say that if we want to look, we want to take a perfect example of what you're talking about. Is I'll name two athletes who are just fortunate enough to have picked the thing that they like to do in life, and they just succeeded at it. And one obviously would be Michael Jordan, who once he discovered that he could play basketball, even though he toyed around with golf, he realized that his real success was going to be coming from mastering that whole skill set of being a good basketball player. And a second good example of that is someone like Tiger Woods, who started at 3 or 4, you know, with a golf club and just focused on that. And so in some ways, Leah, not to argue with Leonard, because Leonard is a very bright guy, I think that balance and all this is highly overrated, and that the thing that most people need to do in life, if they really want to be successful, is discover that one or two things that they do very, very well and then just exceed at that. And the earlier you master that, whether that be being a violin player or a piano concerto or whatever, if you can master that and demonstrate that you can do something very, very well, then people will give you an opportunity later on in life to do anything and everything else you want to do. But until mm-hmm. you've established that you can do something very, very well, you can't break out of the pack, you can't get the notice that you need, and therefore you end up in a balanced life that accomplishes nothing. So I'm with you and your Cheesecake Factory analogy.
So I'm glad you brought up Michael Jordan, because he's a perfect example of what we're talking about. Michael Jordan mastered basketball, but then he wanted to run and go play baseball. He wasn't too successful at that. So he went back to basketball, where he was successful, and that's his lane. And the choices that he made in terms of quitting basketball, what he was very successful at, and like you said, they gave him an opportunity to play baseball because of how successful he was in basketball. But once he got out there, it wasn't what he thought it was going to be, and he wasn't as successful as he expected to be, so he ran back to basketball. So you are correct. Find your lane. Focus on what you do best or what you're good at, and other things will open. I agree with you.
Well, let me give you another example. I happen to have an engineering background, and unfortunately, when I went to engineering school, I didn't realize how much focus it was going to take, and so I ended up losing my girlfriend and ended up stopped running track. I couldn't run track. I basically just had to focus on doing the engineering, because what I found is that the people I was competing with, maybe their interests weren't as broad as mine, but they were focused in on that engineering. So to the degree that I wanted to keep up with them, I needed to match their focus with my focus. And I had to, because I'm not Superman and I'm not Jesus Christ, I could only do so much. There was only so much time, so much energy in the day. And so I had to just basically, to keep up with them and stay competitive with them, I had to drop all my other interests temporarily,
sacrifice,
of course, just to get through this. And so I think when people talk about fate and all this kind of stuff, I think if you're not willing to give up all these other things that you may have an interest in but maybe aren't really your strong suit, your chances are you won't even get your strong suit done, because you're always competing against other people who want the same things that you want. And there's only one or two carrots out there, and the people who focus get the carrots, and then there's nothing left for anybody else.
So it goes back to what Liv said about the jack of all trades and a master of none. Focus all over the place and not focus on the one main thing.
Yeah, it's true.
You have the rest of your life to be focused if you want. I mean, you have the rest of your life to be balanced if you want to. But to make that breakthrough moment, I think you got to be focused.
I love that, caller. And now I'm going to give the tip. So, caller, please stay on the line and check them out, okay? We're going to give the tip so we can wrap up today's show. Tip number one, get your notepad, get your iPad, get it all together. Tip number one, you need to write a goal diary. And next to the goal, timeline. That's what you're writing, okay? In a single week, so you can start next week, you can start the week after next, I don't care when you start, but I want you to do this, because nobody has any success without a vision. A vision is a goal or some sight of the thing that you wish to do that you connect to by feeding it positive energy each day. So you need to have either a vision board, a vision page in your notebook, and get it done. Okay, so number one, you got your goal and your timeline diary. In a single week, I want you to write down how many important tasks you had to complete that you actually completed. And this is going to tell you if you are a slacker, a procrastinator, a multitasker, or you are all over the place, or you're driven. Because in a single week, you're going to know how many tasks, and that's going to kind of set up your foundation. At the end of that week, you're going to ask yourself, how many of those things did you actually complete? complete? Excuse me. How many did you actually complete? All of the things you wrote down, how many did you complete? Then you're going to ask, did you put off anything and why? Because this is going to identify the weaknesses or the frailties in your goal completion. This is going to tell you where you need to work on to increase or improve, what you need to work on. Then you're going to ask yourself, did you start anything and have any loose ends as a result of the start? So you started something, but it's just loose. You didn't even go back to it. You got so distracted with your life, you didn't even go back to it. That's number three. And identify that. Then ask yourself, is my multitasking actually good for my life? Is it taking away a single focus? Am I all over the place? Because that's going to be the summation of what you see in front of you as you list the distractions, which is number five. You're going to, I might be on five. I think I'm on five. But no, I always, look, I'm distracted. Number five, count the hours in a single week. Now, I really want you guys to do this. If you're even paying attention and you're out there, and we see calls on the switchboard, if you're out there and you're paying attention, really do this. Commit to doing this, okay, because this is really going to help you. I want you to count the hours in a single week that you didn't do a darn thing, that you wasted time either by sitting around, browsing on Facebook, posting to Instagram, checking in your status, you're on your phone, you're surfing, you're doing whatever, you're wasting time, you're watching Scandal, because remember, the girls on Scandal, they already have money. That's why you're watching them on TV. Get yourself together. You can create your own Scandal. Turn it off. Sorry, Leonard, you're an actor. We want you to keep paid and well on TV. I'm not trying to take anybody away from entertainment, mind you. We want Leonard to stay employed.
No, you're not. Absolutely.
But talk about how much TV time. Cut back on something. But if you don't list this, you're not going to be able to get ahead. In a single week, what are your distractions? And how many hours did you dedicate to it? Think about it, and you will be surprised how you come up with this answer.
Leah?
Yes.
Steve told us to have fun every day.
No, you can have fun. We haven't gotten to the fun. Because I'm gonna speak to the people who need balance, too. I'm only speaking to the multitaskers right now.
We go
speak to the balance folk in just a minute.
Okay.
So now, I need you to be honest with yourself. I need you to sit down. Now, this is the most crucial thing I'm going to say to you today, so please listen to this. I need you to be so honest with yourself. Nobody else is around, just you, God, and your own spirit. And I need you to write down in this journal what your fears are. You don't have to share them with anybody to judge you or otherwise, but I need you to really write your fears down. And here's why. I need you to name them and list them, because they are the most important thing in your life, because they immobilize you. If they were not important, you would already be beyond them. But because you have not overcome them, and the Bible says what we fear the most becomes us and comes upon us, they are ruining your life. You need to know them by name. I always want to know somebody that's messing up my life. So I'm going to write the fears down. I'm going to name them and list them so I can call them by name so that I can overcome them. Each one of those fears are important, and that is where your real work of your change and your victory in life will come. See, you're going to have tons of victory through success, but your real victory is in tackling your fears. Because those are the things that keep you stagnant. Leonard, are you texting? There's some kind of weird noise on the phone. Are you multitasking, Leonard?
I'm writing down my notes.
Oh, you're writing down your notes. Okay, so list your fears, name your fears, so that you understand that fear is the thing that is really keeping you back. It is that which is holding you back. It is not allowing you to achieve in the way that you could. And so the least you could do if you're going to give all that energy toward fears is to know what they are so that you can understand them. And then if you're a person of power, now you might look in your mirror and say, oh, I'm the bomb, I'm thebomb.com. But I'm talking about a real person of power. If you're a person of power and conviction, if you even bother to utter the name God and pray every day, then you must know that you can move all of the fears out of the way. You must know that. And you are a person of power, so then therefore you must do that.
Mm.
So I need you to look at the fears, because those are the things that are keeping you back. They really are the most important thing in your life. They are the most important thing in your life. And guess what? God gave them to you for a reason. Everything that has been on your path is for your learning. God programmed your subconscious mind to give you that which you need, and he has also programmed your learning. So every lesson that you need to overcome is within the fears and those things that you need to learn through lesson, through pain, through hardship. They're all there. You know, it bothers me so much when I meet people. But I always want to help them. But it bothers me when I meet people and they say this to me. I do want to help them. But they say this one thing, Leonard. They say, oh, no, 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 no. Relationships? Oh, no, I'm giving those up, baby, because my heart has been stomped on 100 times. Well, 100 times you must be dumb in the lesson, because what are you doing wrong to be able to continue to attract that which has caused you pain 100 times? You must not be learning something. It's just like your mother coming to school and holding you back in fifth grade. We can blame it on the teacher. My baby couldn't see the blackboard.
Right.
The teacher wasn't slow enough. Little Johnny couldn't keep up. But at some point, when the lesson begins to be so repetitive that it's in our face as the barrier to our success in passing that grade, we must now look inside of ourselves. And we must now be honest.
Why does this keep happening to me?
We must not ask, why does it keep happening? We must say, this must stop. And the question that we must ask ourselves is, do I have the power and the ability through tackling the fear of getting through this lesson, knowing that the only reason it's before me is because God created it for my refinement? See, when you have given up and say, I refuse to learn this lesson of love, I'm not going to love anymore, then you have taken the defeated attitude, and you are not a person of power. You are a person who is allowing fear to govern your life. Now, I know what I'm saying sounds easier said than done, and I sound a little preachy, and I forgive myself if you forgive me as well. But I really want you to really think about this. I really do. Everything, bad or good, is for your growth. Because otherwise, why would you be experiencing it? Because of just unlucky, you just black cat ladder stepped on a crack all day? No way. You're the child of God. Infinite measure and possibility. And so I really want people to start doing that. Okay. Now I want you to think about something called the rule of twos. Okay. I made that up, yes, and I'm putting it in my book. It's the rule of two. Okay. There are two things a week that you must do and get done. No failed attempts. So at the end of your week, you've already figured out where you're slacking, where you're lacking. I want you to do two things that you designate that must be done. No delay, no I'm going to do that tomorrow. Two things. So on Friday or Sunday, however you end your week, wherever you start to make your week start and stop, I want you to look at the list and have completed two things. No excuses, no continuation, no allowing anybody else to control how you did or didn't finish it. I want you to finish two things. If you're an overachiever, pick a little bit many more. If you're the multitasker, pick only two. Then I want you to start early in your day. Okay, this is for the multitasker who's not really focused. Whatever you need to do, get it done early. If it's go to the gym, go to the gym early. Because the longer you wait, the longer the temptation is to do nothing occurs. And then the distractions of your life come back in. Then I want you to not email or Facebook, Instagram, nothing, 2 days out of the seven. Because unless you are Zuckerberg and you have his billions of dollars in your ATM statement, you owe him 2 days of work to take off. Because he's not taking off from his job, trust it. That's why he's a billionaire and a kid. Give him 2 days and you say, I'm taking off. I'm breaking up with you for 2 days. No, that seems like a lot. But those are the tips to help you. A couple more, you know, don't check your email beyond a certain time at night, because now we're going to talk about finding some balance in all this. Leonard, you talked about balance, right? Steve said have a little fun. Don't check your emails. My mother always used to tell me this. She said, Leah, don't check your mail on the weekend. Don't go to the post on the weekend because you might get bills or bad news. You don't want either because you can't do anything because everybody's closed on the weekend. Go out and have some fun on the weekend. Do something fun in the meantime. Stop looking at work emails until 10 p.m. Whatever is the fire, they'll contact you if they need to. Trust. Let it all go. Breathe a little. Have a glass of wine if you drink wine. Have some juice if you drink juice. Whatever your deal. Chill out. Go do something you've never done. Take a walk in the park.
Gin and juice. Uh-huh.
For Leonard, it'll be gin and juice. Okay. But in all things of this thing that I want you to do for a week, I want you to check back in with Life, Love, No Chaser. So next week, we want to hear from you. We want to hear that you did this to the T, you wrote the tips down, and you really, really set focus to this. And then you had a little balance because you allowed yourself a little fun. If you pay a bill, pay yourself. You pay a bill if you're a church person, pay the tithe. That's what you need to do. Pay yourself, pay the church, pay your tithe, pay yourself, pay the bill, right? Kind of figure out a schedule to get all those done. Whatever your deal is, okay? But make sure you do something for yourself because you're working hard. Reward yourself. Self-affirm. Mm-hmm. And then get rid of all distractions that are negative. The naysayer, the girlfriend who just wastes your time talking about nothing because she wants advice for everything and never does any of the things you tell her to do. And so she's still with the same horrible person from 10 years back. Stop talking to her so much. Cut her down to 5 minutes. The guy who doesn't really want to date you and you're all over the place because you don't know what the relationship looks like and you're not sure where you stand in his life. Listen, nobody's about confusion. Get rid of him. Do things deliberately and intentional with purpose and drive, without distraction, with a little bit of fun, and I'm telling you, your life will become much more successful. Leonard, do you have any parting thoughts? I said a lot.
my parting thoughts are, if you get knocked down, get up. Don't lose focus. Don't get distracted because you got knocked down. And don't even trip off the fact that you are down. Get up and keep moving forward. Just get up. If you get punched in the face, shake it off. Keep moving forward because there's going to be so many obstacles and distractions to stop you from accomplishing your goal and also kicking you out of your own lane. Just stay focused, get up, and keep moving forward.
Yeah. And my parting thought is, to piggyback on that, I want to share this little story about my 4-year-old son. And we need to capture this because this is really what it's all about. So my 4-year-old son is very gifted in sports already. He can hit a baseball 100 feet already at 4. At basketball, he stands at the free throw line in a regulated basketball hoop. He hits the shot over and over, okay? So recently, he picked up a baseball because he had never played, and before he hit this 100 feet, he said to me, Mommy, I want to try baseball. I said, okay, you sure? I thought you loved basketball. You keep telling me how much you love basketball. And he said, no, I want to try baseball and see where I measure. You know, his words were not measure, but I'm paraphrasing. And he said, I said, okay, no problem. So we go outside, I give him the ball. He's got the bat. He's ready. I'm not kidding you. My mouth was open. His mouth was open. And here's what he said to me. He said, Mommy, this is verbatim now. I'm not paraphrasing now. He said, Mommy, this just proves I can do anything that I set my mind and body to do. I'm great at all sports. This is great. Yes, it is, son. You can do anything that you set your mind to do. At 4 years old, we should be thinking like that, no matter what your age is, no matter what. It's the fearlessness of that, but it's the opportunity seized in that, in knowing that you can do all things. And then he said this. I said to him, are you going to play baseball? He said, he said this. He said, no, my heart is on basketball, but I like knowing that I'm going to play baseball. Yeah, he said, my heart is on basketball, but I love knowing that I can hit the ball 100 feet. So he was fine. He was in his lane, and he said, no, I don't need to go there. I'm going to focus on basketball. So that's my parting word to you guys out there. I hope you enjoyed the show today, and I hope you learned something about focus and balance and being guided and the foundations. We want to thank our guest, Dr. Steve Southwick, who does DNA on fruit. I love that guy's brain. Mm. So out of my lane.
Mm.
Thank you for sharing your day with us and teaching us some of your formula. We appreciate it so much. Thank you for our callers, for calling in and sharing your keen insight and just being there for us. Thank you for a special young woman that I met in Raleigh at the Women's Empowerment Meeting who inspired me to continue my work for just another day. I take it day by day. But she told me once in a conversation that she sometimes lives in fear of things that she should or could be doing that are on her spirit. So if you're listening out there, I want to encourage you to toe the line, to put your faith where your work is, knowing that if you do it half of the way, God will pick you up and take you the rest of the way. This is Life, Love, No Chaser. Join us next Wednesday. Who knows what the topic will be? But check us out on Facebook if you dare.
Stay tuned.
Have a good day out there, cyber world. We're over and out.